Hello and good day. Welcome to the podcast of the Project Coping Against Information Disorder. I am Maria, an AI-based voice from Voicemaker, and together with my colleague Hudson, we will guide you through the 5 chapters of the guidelines of this Erasmus Plus project. In this part of the podcast, we will discuss the first chapter, which is about understanding fake news, its causes, and the important concepts related to it. Lean back. Relax and enjoy this session. So, here we go. In recent years, there has been a widespread use of the term fake news. However, it is important to understand what this term actually means. In essence, it refers to false stories or misinformation that circulate on the internet or through various media channels. Another term commonly used to describe this phenomenon is information disorder. In the following subchapters, we will delve into the topic of information disorders, starting with an explanation of the purpose of information. Subsequently, we will explore false information in more detail, including the different types and their underlying motives. By doing so, we will highlight the varying levels of harm associated with false information. It is crucial to recognize that when false information is spread with harmful intentions, it can give rise to significant problems. We will explain the reasons why people believe in such false information, along with examining the mechanisms and impacts it has on the collective mindset. To provide further clarity, this publication will offer examples of instances involving false information. Young people are citizens in today's digital society who can participate in online debates and discussions, express their concerns, and take action. To ensure their safe, effective, critical, and responsible participation in the digital realm, they require digital citizenship. Digital citizenship is generally understood as the competences that are needed for active participation in the digital society. In recent years, the understanding of digital citizenship has evolved to encompass a wide range of competences and behaviors that empower young people to leverage the internet's opportunities for active participation, while safeguarding them from potential risks and harms that are associated with it.
One of these competences that are central to digital citizenship concerns media and information literacy, or the ability to understand and critically engage with information on the internet. Reliable information forms one of the cornerstones of well-functioning democratic societies. Access to this information allows citizens to participate in decision-making processes by carefully weighing all information when exercising their right to vote and to hold governments accountable. Citizens generally rely on the news media for overall coverage of the most important information on politics, societal issues, economics, and other events that are relevant to the functioning of society. As it is impossible for newsrooms to cover every event happening across the world, news items are selected and covered by journalists. Newsroom processes such as editorial gatekeeping and fact-checking allow for reliable news coverage of the most relevant events. More recently, however, with the widespread expansion of the internet and social media, the information environment has changed drastically. Some scholars propose that we are currently in a state of information cacophony, which is characterized by the jarring noise of many discordant voices offering up information under conditions of low media trust. As contemporary technologies allow for the distribution of information on a global scale, messages are created, shared, and consumed in an increasingly complex information environment. With digital technologies being widely accessible, it is easier than ever before for anyone to create and share information. Mobile devices specifically have accelerated this evolution. Information can now be shared at immense speeds, at any time and at any place. Additionally, with the exploding popularity of social media platforms, consumption of information has evolved from a private, solitary activity into a public and shared one. Through these platforms, people are becoming increasingly reliant on their friends, relatives, colleagues, or other acquaintances in their networks to guide them through the complex web of information with their endorsements and recommendations. However, it is important to note that platforms do not serve as neutral communication pipelines. Instead, they are driven by billions of individual users, each with their own backgrounds, values, and goals, and each producing messages that reflect these positions.
Earlier, we mentioned the term information disorder. But what does this entail? The issue of false and fabricated information on the internet and especially on social media has received increasing attention from scholars and policymakers over the past years. Events such as the 2016 presidential election in the US, the Brexit campaign in the UK, the COVID-19 pandemic, and most recently the Russian invasion of Ukraine especially seem to have placed a spotlight on the threats and risks of false information on the internet. In their report for the Council of Europe, Wardle and Derekshan have labelled the several types of false or misleading information that is circulating online as information disorder. More specifically, they distinguish between three types of information disorder: misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. The distinction between these three types of information disorder is made based on two elements. First, a distinction is made between messages that are true and messages that are false. Second, attention is paid to the intention behind the message, whether the individual or organization who shared the message intended to harm, or whether harm was unintentionally inflicted. There are two primary categories of false information: misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation refers to information that is inaccurate or false, but the person disseminating it is unaware of its falseness. In other words, there is no intention to deceive or harm others. Although misinformation can still have an impact on those who receive it, it is not shared with the explicit intention of causing harm. When non-factual information is unintentionally shared, regardless of the underlying reasons, it falls under the classification of misinformation. Conversely, disinformation is shared with malicious intent. The source is aware of the untrue nature of the information, however, they share it anyway to cause harm to an individual, social group, organization, or country, and hence to mislead the receiver of the message. Often, the dissemination of false information is driven by the desire to promote a specific moral or political perspective or advance a particular cause. Unlike the previous two, the third type, malinformation, is based on factual information. Yet, what makes it malinformation instead of just information is that this true information is shared with the intention of causing harm. The origin of the information stems from truth but is taken out of context or exaggerated to promote a specific moral or political agenda. Malinformation generally concerns issues such as hate speech, harassment, and leaks of confidential information.
To understand information disorder, it is useful to note that it generally involves three elements. The first central element of information disorder concerns the agents that created, produced, distributed the piece of information, and their motivations behind the information. Second, it is important to consider the message and its characteristics, such as its format. Third, an important role is played by the interpreter. How did the receiver of the message interpret it, and which action did they take in response to the message? Here, it is important to note that audiences are very rarely passive recipients of information, but instead interpret the piece of information from their own background, for example, based on their social status, political ideas, or past experiences. Now we will talk shortly about the reasons why people tend to believe in false or inaccurate information. Belief in false information is a widespread occurrence influenced by various factors. It is important to be aware of such factors and strive for critical thinking, skepticism, and the use of reliable sources when evaluating information. By developing media literacy skills and fact-checking information before accepting it as true, individuals can minimize the impact of false information on their personal beliefs and decision-making processes. For people to believe in false information, they could only have access to less than credible sources. If individuals rely on unreliable or biased sources of information, they are more likely to encounter false or misleading information. it is essential to verify the credibility of sources before accepting the information as true. Confirmation bias also plays an important role. People often seek out information that confirms their pre-existing beliefs or opinions. This tendency can lead to the acceptance of false information that aligns with their worldview while disregarding or dismissing contradictory evidence. In some cases, people may use heuristics or mental shortcuts to process information quickly. While these shortcuts can be efficient, they can also lead to errors in judgment, causing individuals to accept false information without critically evaluating it. Emotions can also influence belief formation. When individuals have strong emotional attachments or biases, they may be more inclined to accept information that supports their emotional state, even if it is not accurate. Additionally, people are often influenced by their social environment, including friends, family, and social media networks. If false information is widely shared within a particular social group or online community, individuals may be more likely to adopt those beliefs without questioning their validity.
People are more susceptible to believing false information when they lack knowledge or expertise in a particular subject. Without the necessary background information or critical thinking skills, it becomes easier to accept misinformation as true. Lastly, insufficient understanding of how to critically assess and evaluate information can contribute to the belief in false information. Without the necessary media literacy skills, individuals may struggle to distinguish reliable sources from unreliable ones. Social media platforms also play an important role in the engagement of people with information. Social media platforms have become an integral part of many people's lives and have a significant impact on human behavior. These platforms utilize various techniques to engage users and encourage continuous interaction, often leading to behavior modification. We currently live in an era defined by technology and social media. These platforms have become the primary means through which we exchange thoughts, emotions, desires, and engage in interactions, often within virtual realms. As a result, the level of belief and trust has expanded and plays a significant role in shaping interpersonal relations, including important aspects of existing values and socially valid beliefs. The process unfolds seamlessly as many of us continually use various devices. Unbeknownst to us, we are constantly being tracked and monitored, with engineered feedback consistently provided. Gradually, we find ourselves subtly influenced and entranced by technicians whose identities remain concealed, their motives unclear. Algorithms voraciously consume extensive data about us, contributing to this intricate web of influence. Social media exerts its influence on behavior through the implementation of algorithms that curate and display content to users. These algorithms are specifically crafted to maximize user engagement by analyzing individual preferences, behavior patterns, and demographic information. As a result, users are often presented with content that aligns with their interests, keeping them engaged for longer periods. It is important to note that social media platforms are not inherently malicious in their intent. They primarily aim to increase user engagement and provide personalized experiences. However, the continuous exposure to tailored content and behavior modification techniques can potentially lead to negative consequences, such as addictive behavior, decreased attention spans, and even the reinforcement of harmful beliefs or echo chambers.
As users, it is crucial to be aware of these behavior modification techniques and actively manage our social media usage. This can involve setting limits on screen time, diversifying information sources, critically evaluating the content we consume, and being mindful of the potential effects on our behavior and well-being. Now, let us focus on the way that mis- and disinformation work. First, we examine the proliferation of mis- and disinformation. As a result of the tendency of people to make mistakes and occasionally lie, misinformation, defined as any information that is ultimately proven to be incorrect, presents an unavoidable difficulty in our quest for accurate knowledge and effective communication. However, this is not enough to account for the 21st century's foremost problem, the proliferation of false information and the havoc it wreaks on people's ability to remember and make sound decisions. Elections, referenda, political and religious persecution, and the international reaction to the COVID-19 epidemic have all been linked to the spread of false information. Modern technological advancements are essential to understanding the psychology and background of propaganda. Roman emperors rose to power with the use of propaganda spread through coins with hidden messages, while Nazi Germany's propaganda machine relied largely on the written press, radio, and film to reach the masses. Today's disinformation efforts have unprecedented reach primarily due to the widespread use of the internet. The internet has a vast audience and allows persuasive messages to be crafted according to each user's unique personality type. Moreover, when communication contexts favor confirmation of past opinions, users' exposure to material that contradicts their worldviews can be limited. Although the effects of echo chambers on people's views and actions have been the subject of some debate, the internet provides a perfect medium for the rapid dissemination of misinformation at the expense of truth.
To combat disinformation, the field of science communication has traditionally used the information deficit model, which places the emphasis on people's ignorance rather than on the availability of alternative viewpoints. Therefore, the effect of false information can be mitigated by providing a clear and concise explanation of the relevant facts. However, the cognitive, social, and affective determinants of attitude formation and truth assessment are disregarded by the information deficit approach. Some people, for instance, ignore the widespread scientific agreement that climate change is real or refuse to get vaccinated even if they know the risks. Factors such as conspiracy thinking, anxieties, identity expression, and motivated reasoning, reasoning based more on one's own personal or moral beliefs than on objective evidence, contribute to this rejection of science beyond simple ignorance. Therefore, it is crucial to think about the cognitive architecture and social environment of individual decision makers to comprehend the psychology of disinformation and how it might be addressed. Now that we talked a bit about the proliferation of mis and disinformation, let's focus on the drivers of these false beliefs. Incorrect information is very important for the development of incorrect beliefs. The creation of untrue concepts is influenced by a number of cognitive, social, and affective factors. Nevertheless, a lack of access to high-quality information is not necessarily the primary precursor. In most cases, the same processes that produce true beliefs can also produce false ones. People have a tendency to be predisposed to accept the veracity of information, and to rely on their intuitions and gut reactions rather than deliberation when making decisions.
Conspiracy theories concerning the virus's origin have certainly been presented to the public more than once, and this exposure may have led to the popular perception that they are true. The strength of peripheral cues like familiarity, a signal that a message has been encountered before, processing fluency, a signal that a message is either encoded or retrieved effortlessly, and cohesion, a signal that the elements of a message have references in memory that are internally consistent, are signals for truth increases with repetition, giving rise to the illusory truth effect. Thus, both falsehoods and verified knowledge benefit from being repeated. Months after initial exposure, illusory truths might linger, unaffected by cognitive capacity or the presence of conflicting counsel from a reliable source or past knowledge. One could also take the shortcut of simply accepting one's own preconceived notions as being correct. When news headlines are consistent with a reader's perspective, they are more likely to be trusted. Partisan bias can also lead to embellished recollections of political scandals. It's true that one's worldview can have an effect on one's ability to spot mis- or disinformation headlines, but intuitive, or lazy, thinking can also play a role. Similarly, giving people time to think things through can help them make better decisions. Belief in false news, but not real news, is diminished if initial impressions may be revised after further consideration. Similarly, teaching people to think like fact-checkers motivates them to use their own expertise rather than assumptions. Beliefs are shaped in part by the source of knowledge because of the social cues it conveys. In general, people are more likely to believe and be persuaded by a message if they believe that it came from a reliable source. When people view a human information source as attractive, powerful, and relatable, they are more likely to trust what they have to say. People are more likely to trust the opinions of those in their social group than those outside their group, give equal weight to all opinions regardless of the speaker's expertise, and mistakenly assume that their beliefs are widely shared when there is actually only a small degree of overlap. Since many people put their faith in experts and political elites, and since they have the ability to alter public opinions, it can do significant damage when leaders make incorrect claims. Furthermore, indications of the credibility of a source of information are frequently missed, ignored, forgotten, or confused. False beliefs can also be influenced by the emotional tone of the information being disseminated. Emotional appeals are commonly seen in misleading content that is frequently shared, virally, on the internet.
For some reason, while trying to convince someone of something, people automatically switch to more emotive language because they know it works better. When used effectively, emotion can sway audiences by diverting their attention away from other, possibly more diagnostic signs, like the reliability of the source. One's emotional state can also impact one's ability to draw conclusions from information. Encouragement to rely on your emotions makes people more open to disinformation since they are being led to believe that their feelings are reliable sources of knowledge. Similarly, being in a very optimistic frame of mind, for example, can make one more susceptible to trickery and the illusion of truth. Sadness, then, may serve a useful purpose by making people less trusting. Misinformation that agrees with one's political beliefs, as well as COVID-19 related misinformation, are both bolstered by anger. Finally, being socially isolated, which tends to bring up a negative mood, can heighten one's sensitivity to conspiratorial material. Now that we understand how and why mis and disinformation is spread, what can be done about it? I will answer this question by briefly telling you about some strategies for correcting false information. Interventions to counteract disinformation need to get through mental, interpersonal, and emotional roadblocks. The majority of corrections are factual arguments, which address the errors in the original post and replace them with the proper information. The logical inconsistencies that are characteristic of certain forms of misinformation can also be countered, for instance, by providing replies that point out the obvious contradictions between claims like global temperature cannot be measured accurately and temperature records show it has been cooling. Such logical fixes could provide broader defense against disinformation campaigns that employ the same logical flaws and deceptive strategies. A third method is to discredit the material's source or make the false information seem less plausible. Correcting false information can involve a combination of strategies, such as pointing out the fallacies in the argument as well as the mistakes in the information itself. In a broader sense, one might differentiate between proactive, pre-bunking, and reactive, debunking, techniques. The goal of pre-bunking is to equip people with the tools they need to spot and reject new forms of disinformation when they encounter them. The focus of debunking is on opposing individual incorrect claims after they have been brought to light.
We have learned before that mis and disinformation are inaccurate forms of information which are potentially believed and spread by others. But where does this information come from? In this subchapter, we dive deeper into echo chambers. We will explain what they are, how they originate, and why they are important when talking about mis and disinformation. Significant changes have occurred in the previous 20 years in the amplification of misinformation, mostly driven by technological developments and the growth of social media platforms. During this time, information disorder has spread at an alarming rate. The relatively fast propagation of false information, and the belief in it, has been aided by the advent and extensive use of social media sites, both on mainstream platforms like Facebook and TikTok and alternative platforms like 4chan and 8kun. Due to the open nature of these networks, fake information and stories may spread rapidly around the globe. In order to maximize engagement and shares, social media platforms' algorithms tend to encourage contentious or spectacular topics. And because people like consume and spread information that confirms their own opinions, confirmation bias, echo chambers have begun to emerge online. In these closed-off communities, false information may spread rapidly without being critically viewed or corrected. Furthermore, disinformation may also grow to become even more false, harmful, and more skewed from reality. This happens through echo chambers and the funneling effect of social media algorithms. More on social media algorithms will be explained later in the guidelines under the theme, Technology and Tools. The term echo chamber is used to describe a situation in which people are only exposed to data, ideas, and perspectives which support their pre-existing worldview. The people in these echo chambers tend to reinforce and amplify each other's opinions with little to no interaction with opposing opinions. Therefore, they most often ignore or discard anything that challenges this worldview. This positive feedback loop might provide the impression of agreement but actually stifle the pursuit of new perspectives. The name echo chamber comes from an acoustic echo chamber, which is an enclosed, hollow space which reverberates sounds. This is a great metaphor for what is observed in these opinion echo chambers. The similar-minded individuals reverberate their own opinions and ideas in their own segregated area without any noise pollution from the outside, read, differing opinions.
This environment is ideal for disinformation and extreme worldviews to prosper. Confirmation bias, or the inclination to look for and accept information that supports pre-existing opinions, is amplified in echo chambers. People are more inclined to accept and spread information without question when they are in the company of those who share their perspective and when they are exposed to content that supports that worldview. In echo chambers, people opt to only hear and see information that confirms their own opinions. By just hearing what one already agrees with, the information environment is constrained, giving deception a better chance to spread uncontrolled. Disinformation may spread, be debated, and be reinforced within echo chambers where people with similar prejudices congregate. Misinformation builds legitimacy and gets harder to debunk when individuals share and spread misleading narratives with one another. Because of the lack of interaction with opposing opinions and ideas, the echoes are likely to be exaggerated and will distort into more extreme opinions that are further away from reality. This is because people are more inclined to accept and spread information without question when they are in the company of those who share their perspective and when they are exposed to content that supports that worldview. The opinions of the individuals in the echo chamber are amplified and transformed into views that are most likely a false depiction of the real world. These warped ideas could then be disseminated to spaces beyond these echo chambers, as the people in the echo chambers are prone to replicate the distorted ideas that have been created there. This is one of the ways mis- and disinformation is created. How these amplified ideas are disseminated outside of these echo chambers will be explained in Chapter 3, Technology and Tools.
As echo chambers play a large role in the spreading of information disorder, they also play a prominent role in online radicalization. One of the mechanisms in the radicalization process is echoing, which refers to the way constant interaction with others holding the same extreme ideas and beliefs can shape and reinforce a person's own convictions, potentially even legitimizing violence. The echo chambers that can form online contribute to the confirmation of people's beliefs, pushing them towards more radical thinking and actions, and fostering increased distrust of mainstream news. Furthermore, within these echo chambers, extremist ideologies become normalized, making it difficult for individuals to oppose them. This can result in the exclusion of members who attempt to introduce nuance. Importantly, algorithms used by social media platforms can also contribute to the escalation of increasingly extremist ideologies. It is important to encourage people to check sources before sharing information. Educating the public about reliable fact-checking organizations and resources equips them to evaluate the veracity of material before sharing it. Civil discourse and open debate across ideological lines must be encouraged to break down barriers, dismantle echo chambers, and foster mutual understanding. The inclination to withdraw into echo chambers can be mitigated by cultivating an atmosphere where varied opinions are appreciated. Social media platforms are crucial in combating the spread of false information. The influence of echo chambers on the propagation of disinformation can be reduced by stricter content control, algorithm transparency, and responsible recommendation systems. We have explained a lot about the concept of information disorder over the course of this podcast. You now know what it is, and how and why it spreads. You also know where it comes from and what role social media platforms play in this process. To close off this podcast, we want to give you three recent examples of information disorder in practice. The first one appertains to the wildfires in the Amazon rainforest in 2019. In August of 2019, large wildfires were occurring in the Amazon rainforest. Many celebrities and people with large followings on social media, such as Logan Paul, Emmanuel Macron, Justin Trudeau, and Leonardo DiCaprio, are sharing pictures of these wildfires on social media to express their concern and to spark the discussion about climate change and deforestation in the Amazon rainforest.
However, while it was a fact that certain parts of the Amazon rainforest were on fire, the pictures that are shared on Twitter and Instagram by the people above are not from these specific wildfires, but from ones having taken place at an earlier time. Hence, the pictures that were being widely shared on social media were used outside of their original context. Using such shocking, powerful pictures can add more power to the story and their side in the discussion on climate change and protecting the environment. Additionally, such pictures increase the interaction with the social media posts through likes, comments, and shares. Wildfires in the Amazon rainforest are not new. Due to deforestation by burning parts of the forest to develop the soil for farming purposes, wildfires have already occurred multiple times. However, because of the large attention for this specific case on social media, people make it seem like this is the first time such a large wildfire has occurred. However, although incorrect pictures are shared about this news story, this seems to be a case of misinformation, where the people posting the wrong pictures do not have the intention to mislead people. Instead, they have the goal of trying to put pressure on politicians to do something about deforestation in the Amazon rainforest. It appears as if no intention to harm anyone was present, and the wrong pictures were used by accident. The next example of information disorder appertains to the idea that Russia is training eagles to intercept drones, which was a news story going viral in May of 2023. This example is based on a fact check by VRTNWS, the Flemish public broadcaster. After two drones had hit the Kremlin at the beginning of May, messages on social media began circulating that Russia is training eagles to intercept drones that are attacking Russia. More specifically, voices on social media were saying that formations of these eagles would be used to protect Moscow during the celebration of Victory Day on May 9. Many of these social media posts are accompanied by videos of an eagle intercepting a white drone, which has been viewed more than a million times. It was said that a military specialist was the first to release the video. Various news outlets had picked up the stories that originated on social media about these eagles and reported on them, for example the Flemish popular newspaper Het Laatste Nieuws and the Dutch public broadcaster Numbers.
Various fact checks show that different countries have indeed been experimenting with training eagles to intercept drones in the past. However, as these projects did not provide the desired outcomes, these training initiatives were stopped. The video that is circulating on social media is not recent and instead comes from a Dutch police training project with eagles in 2016. This video was uploaded on YouTube by the BBC in September of 2016, who were reporting on this training project by the Dutch police. The third and final example of information disorder we want to explain to you is about the World Economic Forum and how it was said they want to ration water. This was a news story in April of 2023. This example is based on a fact check by NAC, a Flemish news magazine. A screenshot of a news article is going viral on social media in April 2023. The title of this article reads, "Water is not a human right. WEF orders govs to begin rationing water into homes." This screenshot comes from an American website, The People's Voice, which is a website that has already previously been known to share false information. The article claims that the World Economic Forum is stating that water is not a basic human right and that governments should ration their water supply. The article on The People's Voice mentions a report about the UN Water Conference that was organized in March as the source of this information on the proposed water rations. The report about this conference summarizes the discussions at the conference and writes about the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, of the UN, but does not talk about specific water policies. Quickly, various fact-checking initiatives researched the claims made in the article. They concluded that the claims were false. The report about the water conference does not mention anything about rationing of water. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast. There are 4 more podcasts of the guidelines waiting for you. However, if you are interested to hear more about the practical sides on this topic, be sure to listen to the Toolbox module introductions as well. There are 7 modules, each tackling a different angle of information disorder. Whichever you choose to listen to, you will become immersed in the exciting world of information production and information disorder. All this is just a mouse click away.